2019 meeting to order. We've got a couple new faces in the room, so if we can, let's go ahead and do a quick introduction. We'll start over with you, sir.
I'm the director of baseball for Kaiser League, Shane Dyarman.
Shane?
Dyarman.
Okay.
Welcome. Hi, I'm Rob Kavars, and I'm set to take over for Bo, the vice president, in October. Right now, I'm the JV and coaching director.
Elaine, vice president of Mary Baseball.
So are you stepping in the president role then, and then Rob's taking over the VP? Is that kind of how it's going to work?
We're going to have two VPs. And I'll move into that role. Not so often, though. So wait until the month later. We're taking that for a VP.
There you go.
I'm Dan Kohler, city councilor.
Matt Moyer, vice chair of the Kaiser League. Park, long range, playing customers.
Clint Holland. Clint Holland Marks.
Oh, yeah, we're exactly.
Who are you?
Well, he's busy.
My turn?
It's your turn.
Matt Wright, Kaiser League softball director.
Brad Arsmeyer, Kaiser League president.
Alicia Sanders, event coordinator for Kaiser League.
Do we have anybody signed up to speak for registration?
Well, they signed in. I don't know if they have. I think they're just kind of.
Does anybody want to talk about anything on the agenda regarding the Kaiser League Park Long Range Customers Club? Okay, very good. You all should have gotten the minutes from Debbie for the April 24th meeting. From the members of this group, get a motion to. Minutes. Motion to approve the minutes.
Is that just a second?
Sorry. Right. Motion from Brad and second from Bo. Any second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. So the report discussion, I think what we're going to kind of do here a little bit is sort of come back and talk a little bit about. I think the discussion that we had back in April, which was moving forward with this new structure of the operations and maintenance organization that would be in charge of taking care of the field, scheduling the field, running the field, and running the concessions, and then the two organizations or whatever organizations that are associated with that can run their programs separate, but not have to deal with necessarily being the exclusive caretaker of the complex. To go over again, the management structure generally would be the president, vice president of organizations, accounts liaison, and then probably a member of the parks, and then probably some citizen that would serve as well. We discussed there definitely need to have some positions within organizations where you have a chair and a successor plan, so almost sort of a rotated thing where 1 year maybe it's MYD is the chair and the next year is Kaiser League. Sort of rotate that a little bit. Treasurer and secretary, which is standard organization requirements, and then a concessions person that would be overall in charge of dealing with the concessions. It sounds like it was Alicia, is that right? It sounds like you've been kind of doing sort of the events stuff, maybe not the concessions, right?
Not
okay. And then we talked a little bit about the annual goal of 35,000. Anything beyond that, half of each would go to the organizations, bring on a media manager. And then the big overall focus of the groups would be, for this group, as far as the organizing group, would be to annual coordination for maintenance, the operations, the scheduling, and then revenue generation for the complex, right? We talked a little bit about sort of the five-year needs list, not necessarily capital improvements, and then discuss capital improvements as well. And capital improvements would be those things you're going to purchase, lights, equipment, and then wrap up a tractor or something new that you guys need because something failed.
Here we have
So those are all kind of, I think, general high topic discussion items that we had. Again, I think we hope to come back and sort of have a discussion about how kind of the beta thing went. I think it'd be interesting to sort of hear how the conversations went between the two organizations. Were you guys communicating better this year? What were the slots looking like? I mean, we have a whole bunch of open slot times. I know we're still kind of stuck in the slot fee thing this year because it still exists, but I think overall just generally open up the dialogue and see what things you were able to see come to bear in this plan, if any, and if none, what were sort of the barriers, and then sort of talk about accessories at the end. So
we really didn't talk a lot about it. We were running our season, I know that they were busy running their season, we really didn't sit down much and discuss it. So there was not a lot to talk about this one. We didn't really say much. We really didn't talk about having NYB in the concession stand this year. We just handled ourselves and it was pretty status.
We definitely reached out and tried to make an effort to do it, but what do you think? That's the beauty of running baseball organizations, right? We have all this extra free time.
So really we're at sort of the turning point now, right? Where it sounds like we need to start focusing on implementing a lot of these things now as we move into sort of the fall and the off season, it sounds like. Is that kind of what you're gathering?
Well, the fall is pretty much vague at this point. I mean, we've got games that take place on Sundays. We don't have a game scheduled outside of Sunday for the next 8 weeks. If you guys is not season open in like third or fourth weekend in October. We've got NAPA scheduled through October 6th out there. They use a majority of the slots out there for softball. So we're just one day week this one.
The folks are playing.
Yeah.
So with that being said, does it sound like, and don't let me go into this conversation, we're trying a lot of songs too, and I don't want to. But is it sounding like then now we're in kind of a place where we kind of begin to hold in the philosophies of what this is proposed to become? I mean, what do you guys think?
We move forward.
Well, so start to kind of have that conversation of filling out the roles, filling out the bylaws, filling out, you know, what the president, the vice president, the chair, the co-chair, the vice chair, and the treasurer, and all these things, to actually start to build out and implement the design of what this whole thing is going to look like. So really dive into the specificity of, you know, what you guys have seen, what you guys have seen, what we're all talking about here, is now the time to start planning that out.
This is the time we want to do it,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I think it needs at least from my end, clarity on what that looks like for the bylaws standpoint. I know we talked about it a lot, but I would like to see those too. No pressure.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, part of it is, I think there's a great. Well, it is complex because, you know, it does have to be stood up as a new 501c3. There's some complexity that exists there saying a new 501c3. You know, there's going to be some heavy work that happens, but I think that's going to be something that I think that there's people around that know how to do that. I've never sort of 501c3. I've been a part of a bunch of them that have stood up. But I think in terms of you guys settling on the roles of that group, right? What's the chair going to do? What's the vice chair going to do? What you envision the treasurer going to do? How you're going to call the roles? The media person, the concessions person, stuff like that, right? You guys, I think this year for the first time, did something a little bit different with concessions. Where were the struggles? Where were the successes? And what are you going to do to sort of branch that out into something new? Do you guys have you seen a plan where you're going to fix that or maintain that or whatever? It's
something different.
Well, for ever since before the Tilbury was going, and Clint was doing a lot of things the last
couple years, 3 years, pretty solid when it comes to having a lot of feedback
it's just hard to keep them inside a concession. No matter how fun it is, and you can tell people this is a good time, which it is, actually enjoy spending time there, it's still a struggle to get people in there. I think some of the struggles from a revenue standpoint, I think our pricing was probably not good early on in the year. The committee chose to make some pricing decisions and then probably impacted us financially. So we had a lot fewer games this year. Our numbers were down a bit. We interleaved a lot more, which means that we played fewer games against each other in our own ballpark. And half the games are now played either in South Salem or Sprague or Cascadia or any one of the other places. So that was also the struggle. So it's every year you have very different challenges out there.
So would you say, I guess my question would be, do you have enough lessons learned now that if you were to write out what you expect a concessions position to look like and everything associated with that, and you sort of do that to tell them like this
one? Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. So we've just been talking generally about maybe using the next few months to kind of start to roll in some of the planning and some of the structuring of any positions and any of the goals of getting ready to get the O&M organization off to a good start by the beginning of the next season.
Perfect.
Sure.
All right. I wasn't going to interrupt the flow. Great. Well, is what's not happening around town is the first week of school. Good times. I'm afraid you guys are happy to get back to school, right? But I want to follow up with maybe a little bit more on the lessons learned because there was four concessions, because there's not just staffing and so forth. Do you see a path forward based on your experience this year to put together a plan that will yield the revenue necessary to maintain the field? Because that was what we were looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were looking at target between 30 and 30,000 net,
mm-hmm.
and then any above, you know, whatever was necessary to maintain the field, you know, you can expect to use that for program, which would be just awesome. So we wanted to make sure that it was worth the first time, but also that the fields were in good condition and maintained at to a level that is appropriate, which means the best, you know, for all of our kids to play on. We want nothing less than the best for them to play on. And we want to maintain, you know, all the work you're doing, we want to make sure all the stuff that you're doing, that Clint has done, that people have done over the years is maintained going forward, that we don't have. So we take out as much of the ebb and flow as possible. Let's kind of backtrack to where this conversation started. We want to take this out of it and make it more like this. I mean, I'd love to see that, but we'll take many out as we get this thing going. So, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm Alicia.
Alicia, nice to meet you. Welcome aboard. So are you vice chair?
No, I am the coordinator.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've talked about this. I'm super naive when it comes to concessions because we were never part of that. I mean, all of our board was never a part of the group that managed the complex. Is $35,000 a realistic goal for concessions?
We pretty much hit it last year. It's a lot of work, but yeah, I think it's realistic. We just kind of, the problem this year is we just didn't have enough games there. Even big tournaments that we thought were going to yield more just didn't yield enough. And we hosted every level of softball all-stars this year. And the numbers were so down in softball this year that in past years where you would have like 5-6 teams at each level coming in. You know, we had the 10U's, the 11U's, the 12U's, and the juniors all out there along with 11U baseball. This year, there were no 10U games because there was one team. There were no 11U games because there was one team. There were three major teams. There was no junior club. you take what normally you would expect to have, you know, 30, 40 games, and now you're down to 5. That's kind of a big impact. So those are variables that you can oversee, but you have to be able to, I guess, plan in case that happens, i.e., running more tournaments. I know Shane's got some fantastic ideas around the number of the types of tournaments he wants to run. It's going to be bringing in those additional events with additional communities that will help generate revenue. So to answer your question, though, 35,000, if you have enough games, play it at complex, yeah, you can hit it. I think it's fairly realistic. A lot of work you've done to that number.
Yeah, we've done it on a weekend for 10 weekends.
But yeah, so it's just a matter of getting people ballpark.
Your tournaments have to be planned accordingly as well. You know, the state 12, we host the state 12U softball little league, and when you have one game on a Monday night, people aren't really spending money on the concession stands.
Yeah.
It's the tournaments where you keep people there in the park all day long. And literally, they spread their tournaments out throughout a whole week. So, you know, you got one, maybe two games on a Monday, one game on a Tuesday, two games on a Wednesday. It's just really difficult. And then, you know, planning-wise, we probably over-planned for it, but we want to be ready. We're just not.
But just to give an idea of what can happen.
Yeah.
On Sunday, we had Napa. It was the first weekend out there. It was just Napa. There's no Lin-Wayne games, no KLL games. They were using four fields for the day. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then they pretty much ran it all day. So, the first game started at 8:30, the last game ended at what? 5?
I thought there was 7, something like 7, 6.
Oh, they got behind.
They got really young.
Okay. Gross profit in there was right about $2,100.
In one day.
So, that's what you can do when you have events that have large numbers of people captive at your park all day. To Ryan's point, if you have tournaments like state tournaments and they run 2 games on Monday, 2 games on Tuesday, 1 game on Wednesday, 1 game on Thursday, and maybe on Friday, it's tough to generate revenue in those kinds of tournament settings.
So. Well, that's a perfect example too. We had 22 teams this weekend on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, like you said, All Stars, we had 5.
Yeah.
You know, so if you add 8 more, you know, with our normal 30 number, you know, that's going to bump that up to 2,500 to 2,600 in net gross.
We have, as far as games go, we play a lot of our games, especially our young boys, outside of the KOL complex.
Right.
I mean, just for financial reasons. Mm-hmm.
So it almost sounds like before we have a discussion on concessions, like you all need to schedule figured out first and foremost, like sit down together and figure out what NYB's needs are, what KLL's needs are, and start plugging in all those other tournaments now.
Mm-hmm. You start plugging in tournaments first, I think, because the needs change every year.
Okay.
The needs change based on numbers of our league. Needs change based on numbers of other leagues. You never know each year how many games you're going to be interleaving with, how many other leagues you're going to be interleaving with. Last year, Majors Baseball, of which I coached, our interleague partner was West Salem. Just West Salem. And I won't go into the reasons why, but it had to do with Bat 9 versus Bat Lineup. Because of that, we have 3 Majors teams, they have 4 Majors teams. A majority of them, more than half the games, will play the Kaiser Little League. This year, our Majors, we have 1 Majors team, and they have the interleague partners were South Spray, Cascade, West. So now all these games are spread throughout the entire district. So we went from playing, you know, 25 games, you know, in Kaiser at our own fields to, you know, playing like 6 games at Kaiser fields. And that's just a mechanism of how many teams your league has and who your interleague partners are. And that's going to change every single year. So the most important thing is to get your tournaments planned early, get your dates on the books, and then we can plan our scheduling around available weekdays. Because We want to pack the weekends to play our regular season games during the week. That's what we're looking for next year.
So, I came in late this morning, but is there any more that talks about what the pace made this year in the concessions?
We're still working on it.
Okay.
We still got
a fall ball, right?
We got 8 weeks to go, and we got some very, very big weekends
ahead of us. Awesome. So, it's the end of the season, then we'll end December, or 31st, and then we'll send the next step to do that. Sorry, I didn't find this
sentence. You didn't. That's okay. Good question.
So, but we're here with Brad.
So, a couple of things I'm hearing is, one, I like the dialogue, you know, and that's what we need to get to, is where we can talk about what the experiences were this summer. Kind of dove in, this was dive in and find out what's worked for us, because you can watch people who've been doing it. You know people who've been doing it, like Clint. You know, he's done it for years and he's been able to make money. And when you try some new things, there can be lessons learned and an opportunity to learn about, okay, what are some strategies we might have missed and some opportunities that we could take advantage of. You said something that I want to circle back on. You said you played games elsewhere because of cost. Is that because this year we have slot fees?
We've always had slot fees.
Right. So, if that were not the issue, would we have more people at the park? Because this is something we talked about. If this revenue stream is sufficient to do away with slot fees, would that change how you guys schedule the use of the field, i.e., then more lines at the park to keep it open, the concession stand open?
100%. Yeah. We have 30 plus. 35, I mean, little guys, you know, T-ball and those kinds of things. And we play almost all of our games out of the Kaiser complex. So, I mean, we're losing money on that, too, because when we play games elsewhere, we're not concession stands that we can access at the office. So, yeah, it's strictly money issues on our part. Keep the cost low, which can be a bit more of a complex. So, yeah, we have lots of opportunities to bring.
Well, and the slot games was a very key component of eliminating those in order to move forward this summer.
Exactly. So, that's going to be
that's a necessity.
Right. And then that was a game changer going forward. And we understood that this year we couldn't because all of the agreements in place were in place. And so, we knew that this summer. So, that is going to be a variable that will change next year. Last spring, before we went off to the season, we talked about more bodies in the park, more customers at the concession stand, and made it open a lot possible. Those evenings you were just talking about, you have a onesie, twosie. Well, if you got three practices happening on some of the fields, now it's really opening the stand, you're going to generate revenue. So it's a different dynamic than I got a onesie, twosie. You know, can we make something off of this? And I think that's the other question, too, is the hours of operation. You know, do you always have it open? Does the body of the park have it open? Does it pay off?
No, we don't. No, if there's one game going on, we're not going to close it. Because it's not working.
What are the criteria for your asking?
What's that criteria? Just kind of feel for me.
So it sounds like you're very organic perspective, though. If everything is scheduled out, you know, we're practicing in our lane, and I'm taking your games to other fields because it's slot fees and stuff like that, organically, to me, it sounds like it's just going to happen. You're going to be advised on the field, and therefore you're going to have the need, right? The demand will necessitate the need, I think.
Do a certain job.
And again, I think that falls back to my original statement. It sounds like, hearing from what you said, I thought it was just
magic. No.
But though, if you agree, the game, Shane, if you think that getting all these tournaments fleshed out now and then building in your own individual leagues afterwards, again, the whole goal is to look at the calendar. Because I've seen the calendar over the course of the last couple months, and it's been pretty empty, right? And if you can fill those nights, and even if you have four or five games going, but it's only over the course of 2 hours, that's four or five games you're generally going to do at the concessions. You're not playing slot games.
Yeah.
So, organically, it sounds like get the tournaments and stuff all scheduled out.
July and August is the ghost town.
What's that?
July and August is the ghost town.
Well, and there's no reason it should be. I opportunity to bring in tournaments and outside revenue sources to the field, right?
Well, there is, but that also entails now a lot more work.
But that's the only end of the, that's the only end of the job. Right, that's not federal league, that's not MIBs, that's the only end of the job.
Well, I mean, a little bit. I mean, you guys are
the volume still is made up of.
You're right.
MIB and Lily.
Right.
But you're right on that. There's an opportunity.
Since he's still playing ball somewhere, I bring the KLL. I hear it all in the paper. This championship, you know, all over the place, he's still playing somewhere.
Not very much.
I believe that once this is in place, I think the burden of both organizations, as far as the care of the facility, is going to probably even out and become a lot easier to deal with because we know the expectations and so far. And I think as a function of that, the opportunity to create opportunities at the field and increase the use and increase revenue is just going to happen again. And I can't see it happening in any way. Once the body, I mean, the bodies, the time, the volunteer, get on that. And it may not happen in virtue, it may not happen in the future. But at least it seems to progress.
If it hasn't happened by the fifth year, then we're going to have another conversation. Apparently, you know, we're not learning well as fast. And that's how I think the minors for 5 years, you know, in single A, you're not progressing, you need to talk to
them. Hey, we're cool.
Facilities, so therefore, sessions can be taken care of by organizations, and so you might, instead of adding on more, you're freeing up to do something that people that are already working too much can now be free from. But the recreation arm, I mean, every place.
I know we mentioned this conversation, but it's been whispered by a lot of people in different places, and I just thought.
So, Clint and I are intimately familiar with this discussion. We have 19 parks and 249 acres in the city. We have a budget of less than $1 million for the community employees that work annually.
Mm-hmm.
Woodburn has about 10,000 people less. They have a budget five times what we have as a city, and they have up to 75 employees throughout the year, and they fully fleshed out recreation division.
Yes.
It would probably cost, on the outset, probably $1 million to start a recreation division within the city, and it would probably cost at least half of that annually to staff and to operate. Under current funding, it would be absolutely impossible to do that.
Because Woodburn's tax base, their rate is over $6 per thousand. Ours is $208. And because of the legislature and the voters of the people of Oregon, we cannot change that. Unless the Constitution changes, we are not permitted to change our tax base. We could do 5-year rolling levies or a program or something like that. If we talk about employees, we've got a city manager who's going to really dig his heels in because he hates the idea of hiring people, training them up, and then losing them if we don't pass that levy. But on top of that, that's why we went with the parks fee, because that is something that we as a community, through your elected council, can control. And people don't like it, we'll blow you about it, trust me. We live here, we pay the same fee. So that's why we went with the parks fee, in order to bolster the parks division to be able to start to maintain the facilities we have. We have taken a look at what a parks district would look like, what a parks department would look like. Those are options that, again, definitely could go to voters, could be fleshed out. There's a really hefty price tag with it. So I'm not trying to jump on you, but I want to make sure everybody understands maybe the breadth of that conversation.
So,
but that doesn't mean it's not, but that doesn't mean it's bad to bring it up again.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate, and I appreciate perspective. We all know that the way to generate the most revenue out there is tenants. But you're already taking a group of volunteers that are working their tails off from basically January through June. And now, you know, we talked about July and August being a ghost town. There's a reason for this. Not just because
people don't like us.
Because we want a break. And we have to have a break. You know, I would love to continue to serve on the board of directors for Casualty. But my big announcement tonight is, moving forward, I will not be on board because my family needs me, and I have given an untold number of hours to the operation of the park and the operation of the league. And to place kind of an expectation for the additional burden of tournaments during times that traditionally were down is a really tough discussion to sit and listen to.
This is the kind of stuff we need to hear from both the organizations, because what we have done traditionally, we have had folks who have spent in order of times. What time do you go on the water plant? What time
do you six
in the morning? Roland talks about going out there at over dark 30 and pulling water lines and so forth. This is something that, you know, people have given an inordinate amount of time and effort to create and maintain these fields, and that's part also partly why we're having this conversation. Is this sustainable? And my premise in my head going into this was the answer was, you know, that's why I want to make sure we got everything able to figure this out. Because at the end of the day, what has to be sustainable is that complex. If we're going to have a complex that is safe, welcoming and functioning well for the kids and adults that want to play in our community, what is that going to look like?
I think it's going to look a lot like what we're talking about, but I think we just also need to remember that this group that we're talking about put together, this third party, which is still can have some value. You can talk about, well, it's not the league doing it, it's this group, but this group still is the league.
Yeah.
And all manpower and everything else is still going to come from us. The big plus to this thing, though, is getting two groups on the same page. And that's ultimately what I want, is I want NYB and Kaiser Liberty to be able to share the burden out there so we can make it easier on everybody and make it equitable for both groups to be able to participate in this capitalization.
So I hear what both of you are saying, and I think that in order for that to happen, an outside group like Clint would have to run the concession. Just because of the concession fee, right? First $35,000 to build within the Kaiser Lulu, because you're running to get the rest. But what if we involve these guys at 100%, do that 100%? The money just goes back into the field to pay Clint or do something with Clint or have somebody like Clint to do that, and then that money goes into the field. Now nobody is gaining from it except for the Lulu complex. Everybody gets to play at that field, that complex. You keep all your families together. You don't have Johnny playing over here, so mom has to go this game, and Brett's playing over here, so dad has to go this game.
Sure.
Because that's not fair to families, right? I mean, and like you said, well, you don't have concessions where you have to play because you're starting to save money. Well, if we eliminate the slot fees for both of you, you guys come together as one entity, everyone's going to be responsible for the care and maintenance of that field. That group, right? Which is both of you. So the money from the concession stand goes directly back into the fees.
Well, that was the goal, was that it would be up to
nobody gains.
The certain amount, and anything beyond, let's say they just solely rock it, they would split between their
organizations.
So there's a double incentive to meet that target, is to make sure A, it's fueled, they don't pay slot fees, and the fuels are in bad real condition. And two, anything above and beyond.
But you have to double your volunteers as far as helping maintain the field a little bit.
Cool. So how did the concessions get split this year? Was it half and half?
That's not the city.
Well, half the park, half the city.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So into the park.
The park itself, not the us.
Well, it's a dedicated fund within the park budget.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And then I think they have
I think they have actually the
I thought Bill was
turning. Oh, he's been turning for a while. I'm just hoping that he's turning right there. Not running.
We can't smell it.
So, I'm here four or five different things being thrown back and forth. One of my questions is this something you guys want? Do you want to share the field and have everybody play in there? Or is it a private in the city and it's always going to be contention? Is this something you want?
Yeah. I mean, I would love, listen, you got good baseball people in that group that know how to maintain fields, that know that are dedicated enough to get out there and make improvements. They just don't have the incentive oftentimes to get out there and do it. And that's a lot of times because well, we probably don't ask as much as we should. Because I know that if we probably ask more, that they probably respond. Because, yeah, I feel like we do it all. I feel like the Little League does an absolute lion's share of all the work as we should. We have control of the park. We were financially motivated to get the attention. I get that. But it still is a community park. And if we can find an agreement that's equitable to both sides, get both sides involved out there maintaining that field, I think that whole complex is going to be better for it. And this task force is a way to do it. Maybe it is.
My observation is that since they're paying slot fees, that sometimes I think they feel like, well, we pay our fee, so we don't have to do whatever we need to the fields afterwards, we're just going to walk away. Because we paid our fee, so somebody else can do it. Now, whether that's happening or not, I don't know, but that's the feeling that I get sometimes. And if that's the case, then they walk away and somebody from KLL comes in and they go, Judas H. Priest, these fields are in terrible shape. What happened? How come nobody follows up after you?
Yeah.
So, is this a conversation that's been had?
I've had an executive conversation. And there's a lot of great coaches who do a good job of maintaining the fields. A lot of coaches walk away. So do ours. We have coaches that walk away from our fields just as much. A lot of that has to do with education. Maybe we don't always. We do set the expectation that when you walk away from that field, you drag and you rake. That we'll mow, we'll water, you drag and you rake. Do all of our coaches do it? No, they don't. I can't speak for those guys. I don't know how they set the expectation. But I know, they got guys in an organization like Brandon. Brandon's always great. He can bring his own chopper, big names, just because he likes the way his chopper works. He laid down a really nice line. And I love it. And he's always there, like, 2 hours before the game, preparing his field. And then there's also folks that I know that will play game practice and walk off and we drag it the next day.
So, Bo, when you guys are using all these other fields, all these other places, do you have a slot piece or piece to use those fields? And then who maintains those fields?
They're school parks, mostly.
So we've
worked with the city really specifically for Memory Act. So we budgeted in and worked with them and maintain that field so that we can use it. But I mean, that's a question that we really have to apply for every year. You don't spend the money to fix it up. We don't know if they're
playing music. So if you had the opportunity to use KLL without additional slot fees or things like that, but it's going to take some work from the league, is that something that you're willing to do?
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit. I mean, the reality is that we, again, a lot of us are newer on the board, on our board, so we don't know what to expect. I mean, we don't know what that looks like. Hence the reason why I said, show me what it looks like, and then we can make those, or we can answer that question better later. So I think that's a big part of it for us.
Is just not knowing what to expect.
I know what to expect, yeah. I mean, I think that's it. I think a part of it is expectation. You know, I walked and said in that conversation, I don't think a lot of that pertains at the moment. But, yeah, we obviously want to do what's best for the park. It's going to help our people if we don't have to pay those fees. And working together with Brad, we've never had a problem with that. So,
do you have an expectation written something written out at this point?
We do it in our coaching to the past. What season?
Is that something you share with them?
No, we don't.
Is this something you can share with them?
I mean, we can't. We can certainly share it, but. They're going to put together their own coaches package.
Well, I understand that, but he's saying that I don't know what to expect. I don't know what it really means to say we will. I guess they're saying we're not sure what we've committed to. Is that right?
For the third party aspect, for sure. Yeah. I mean, are we talking about two separate things here?
No, we're talking about field maintenance.
Field maintenance and scheduling and all of that.
Oh, well, I mean, field maintenance, I would like to think that they're probably going to tell their folks, there's just a minimum expectation. My expectation is ready to go. That's it. That's my entire expectation.
We do for our coaches as well.
And outside of that, for scheduling, you know, we work with Rob and we work with Brian Acker. Brian Acker's been scheduled out there for 1,000 years. And it's always just been a one-on-one conversation the last couple years between me and Brian. And then Rob was held around as much as he can. So, I mean, does it set the expectation for scheduling?
There's not.
I don't have an expectation for like that.
Yeah, of course, it's sweet. There just isn't that much to read and drag. At the KLL, some of the fields are just all dirt and the infields. That's a lot more to read and drag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're aware.
But it's also really convenient, as was pointed out, when you've got the kids all there at the same time. Parents like that really well. And they're more willing to talk to them and aren't trying to coordinate between them and get across town, which, especially after school, is just so much fun. And we have some thoughts.
So, Brad, apologies, I'm not trying to undervalue the community of volunteers. For this whole discussion, I recognize the need for time off, all that kind of stuff in July and August, but I do believe that when this thing gains momentum, you're going to be looking at July and August and going, yeah, I guess we'll take off time off, and things are going to happen. I just believe that, right? Once this thing starts to really kick off. I think that the expectation of how, this is all something we talked about when we had the joint meeting. And the energy in the room, the discussion in the room, I think was very vibrant, and I think everybody had the same expectation that this third-party group would set the expectations of whoever is doing the field, regardless of NYU, KLL, NAPA, what have you, that this is how you will come to the field, this is what it's going to look like, this is what it's going to look like when you leave. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit tougher to deal with until you get perimeter fencing for security and have full access control, we'll get there, right? I think overall, these are all the nuanced pieces that we've talked about in terms of payments. To a certain degree, I agree that the concessions may exist outside of the O&M thing. We talked about that maybe subbing it out, however it looked at it. I think that's something that will be probably determined as you're sort of looking at, okay, are we going to have a body between the organizations to place and then work towards those goals. It's been a long time since we talked about all this stuff, so I think it may not necessarily be fresh in a lot of people's minds, but as I'm kind of going through the notes, we're kind of rehashing some things that we've talked about to a certain degree. I believe that a lot of your questions in terms of dissertations and concessions, dissertations and field are going to be answered as this new concept gets pulled together, because I think as a collaborative effort, you're going to set those expectations. The state's going to say, look, this third party group has this, you guys figure out what the overall expectations of the field's going to look like, you know, dragging, mowing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then once those are clear, then obviously then it's going to be folding out and figuring out how that's all going to be accomplished. So maybe I didn't do a very good job at the outset of sort of framing that discussion, but I felt really good when we had the joint meeting. And it was a resounding yes from both groups that you wanted this to happen. You wanted the city to say, give us control of this asset. Let us take care of it. Let baseball take care of it. Softball take care of it here. And get the heck out of the business, other than you guys the city owns it. Okay.
No, I think it's still there.
And so, you know, and
I thought it was pretty clear in saying that I fully support it.
The rec thing, you know, that's one of those ones that, you know, it's kind of like the forbidden word we're allowed to say in the parks, right? And it's just one of those things that we just don't bring up because it is such a tough nut to crack. And it would be great if you liked it. I'd love to see my park department. I'd love to give our teenagers opportunities to do something that's
fantastic.
You know, it's just really tough to do. So I think I just want to pull back. You know, it's kind of like there's all these comments we're it sounds, if I'm going to look at a logical first step to limit some of these, because we know that has to go away, I know that there's probably some legal stuff because Kaiser Lily has a contract in Tallman.
That is, so I guess technically that would be
2020?
Yeah. Okay. The end of September.
So there still exists a contract that's in play right now. I don't know if we could amend.
It's amendable.
So I think it's a really good first step, right? If we have an amendment, that's what I'm thinking, right? If we come before council and council and say, look, we want to amend this contract to eliminate slot fees for both organizations, and this is sort of the outset of our plan. And also, here's the scheduling for the entire time that we're going to be utilizing this field to stand in the shelter. And then get that all pressed out. I think if you come to the front of the council, you can't lose, right? And then as a byproduct of that, because Bo's going to be there all the time for casualty because he's not paying slot fees, you're going to be there all the time because you're not paying slot fees. Shane's going to be hanging out because he's got a cool hat and he's not paying slot fees. You're with him, right?
Kaiser.
Shane will be there. Then the concession thing is just going to happen, whether it's Clint, whether it's, you know, Carlos, and I don't care personally, as long as the concession is meeting the financial objectivity or the financial goal of the facility, then I don't see how this is not going to work. Personally, I'm very optimistic about it.
Well, maybe I can just speak a little bit. We can't really schedule before we know how many teams we have per league. Otherwise, you're leaving slots scheduled for teams that maybe another team could have came in and took that we've already taken based on wanting to pre-schedule.
But you can tentatively schedule based off of the numbers you've got now.
How low might?
I'm sorry, what low might be you're trying to tentatively schedule? We talked about doing tournaments first, right?
Yes.
So
setting aside
what we need for tournaments first before you do the individual needs of the organization, right?
But outside of that, you can begin to look at scheduling until March.
But you have at least some semblance of a plan on how you're going to get most of these revenue together, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, returns. Yeah.
Okay, you said it'd be $2,100 in one day off return.
Yeah. No, that would be
gross. For us, well, whatever.
When we're talking tournaments, the amount of money that you will make will triple, if not quadruple, that amount in a weekend. I mean, the amount of financial revenue that you can produce from a tournament is tenfold what has ever been produced at that deal.
Great. Put it on paper, schedule it out, figure out what y'all need, and then in March, come forward with, okay, you know, March 8th, okay, here's our plan for how I'm going to use this field, how casually is going to use the field, and this is also going to be time for generating our concessions. And then, because you're not leaders of the fields are going to go over an issue in the talk and say, okay, this is how we're going to maintain the field. This is what it'll look like. This is the expectation of what it will look like when we show up. We can't control what the public does on those fields, and this is what it's going to look like when we leave. Those are some simple things that I think people want to play really quickly without having to, I mean, put a lot of agreement on it.
Yeah, I see what you're, I mean, as a lead, though, how do we enforce that? That's the problem we have now, is that we have coaches who walk away. You can't kick them out. You can't tell them they can't coach. So at that point, what do we do as a lead? And maybe you have 50% of the volunteers that are gung-ho, and the other 50% that are here because you didn't have it.
But you can tell them they can't coach, but then...
We can't in Little League.
No,
like,
we can't in Little League.
Nope.
Dan, there's... We beg every year.
We're
begging for coaches. Coaches are at such a premium now, especially new ones. It's hard. Why is that?
There's a reason why that is.
Because there's so many tournament teams, and they take all the coaches.
Yep.
Instead of having two good coaches on a tournament team, they have eight or nine on a tournament team, and it sucks up all the good coaches.
It is pretty fun. You watch some of these tournament teams practice, and they literally will have like eight stations.
Seriously. You have eight stations.
Well, I have six coaches on my tournament team. You know, so.
So you're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem, man.
Yeah. But, so that you have identified, though, a barrier that we need to figure out, because if we're relying on the coaches and volunteers to do both the program and the maintenance, it sounds like we've reached a place where that needs to be separated. It's kind of like concessions. We have to have a core group that is what they do. They're not going to be out coaching. They're not going to be out breaking. They're doing concessions because that's what they do. I like the two water breaks and the concessions. So we need to.
And fundraising.
Never done in the last year as well.
In the last year, I like that part.
I see your
walk by it every night. So, but it sounds like for the maintenance, we've got to have a plan. How is that going to be executed? We've talked about the execution for concessions to generate the appropriate level of revenue. Ongoing maintenance during the season, this is different than maybe short-term CIP. This is different from your long-term. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But how are we going to execute on that for the short-term CIP, the short-term maintenance? During that season, what has to be done? I'm putting that question out there because I don't have an answer, but clearly we need to.
Is to take the field away, to give them an ultimatum of, if you do not take care of the field, your organization cannot play here. And the reason I say that is because I play in an adult organization, and we had a field taken away from us, and it drastically affected us. And we went back and begged them to let us come back, and you better believe we take care of the field now. We are there 2 hours before. We're chalking the fields. We're raking. We are doing everything we can, everything that they ask from us.
I'm just back in the day coaches. I don't know how long it's been today. So when a team comes to play on the field and is already chalked and ready to go,
home team is pretty chalked. For instance, if South Salem comes to play at Kaiser, it's the Kaiser coach's responsibility to chalk beforehand.
And maybe the outfield still.
Yeah, we can make balance. To chalk infield lines, it's also the responsibility of the other game to make sure that it's
So if it's not taken care of at the end of the game, then the people who play on the field next time are having to take care of it before they can chalk the field when you're ready to play.
Or yeah, the lead one to take care of there before
that happens.
Yeah. Well, one of
the conversations we have is having sort of operations and maintenance, which is referee for like another person, the term is there and they're identified as a person. And, you know, I don't know whether to treat it like, you know, school where you check in or check out, meaning that if the referee sees, hey, you didn't hit the field this way before you left.
Thank you, Eric. But that's not the best, actually, that's a good idea. And again, I'm thinking logistics and, you know, goals. Full disclosure for those of you who don't know me, none of my kids play baseball or softball. I have a gymnast, martial artist, swimmer, and baseball, softball, I'm a fan of all of them. So I'm asking these questions mostly because I want to understand from today's perspective, understanding how today's families and teams work. What are we going to do to create a logistics plan to ensure, like what you said, we have a person who is, that is what they do. They are checking them in, checking them out. And that's a really good idea. Clint?
I think one of the things we have to think out of the box here, Little League, and I won't speak for the other group, but for Little League, they're so backwards in what they do. And I'll give you a for instance. Why did Sprague go to the World Series?
Because they're
good. The tournament team, that was the tournament team that played in Little League. And my point is, we need to change how we handle stuff and who we bring in. Because the more successful you are, the more people you bring into that program, okay? So Sprague has a tournament team, they play all summer, but they play the minimum games, which is cards, the Little League. Tony Duff played them four times with his tournament team, and won all four times, including 12-1 the last time he played them. So my point is, we need to change our thinking of how the structure is for Little League, I'm talking about, and so that you bring these people in and play the appropriate addition to it. And that can be done. It's done other places.
So I can answer that.
Okay.
And we're right. And we're starting to do that. But Scott started the grassroots level. And so Shane has started the AP card team. And it's got to build from the bottom up. And Lily specifically has to make a change. NYB has had that kind of place for a long time.
Right.
And it's one of the things that's been so attractive for a lot of players is they can play with the tournaments. There's really no restrictions on these coaches taking their teams and playing in major tournaments or they got the JVO tournaments and all these things. Lily's always been backwards in that regard. And so we're trying to just make a change internally at the grassroots level. We're trying to make Little League baseball more attractive to more serious players.
Question on the maintenance. I guess I'm confused a little bit there. This third party is going to handle concessions and maintenance? Because I was under the assumption
they can't do both.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. Isn't that the purpose for the contract that currently has Little League has to maintain fields?
Well, that's what we're discussing about changing that governance because we're talking about, you have your program, but what we're talking about here is what is the structure that is going to take care of fund the facility. So what we're going to put together is all about that talk. So maintenance, both short-term and long-term, is part of that conversation. And the logistics that we put in place through that governance structure will affect anybody using it. So the agreement is going to change if that is the rule of this group that says, okay, the park is managed this way, you know, funded this way, maintained this way, long-range planning is handled this way. Your program are your programs to, by all means, have as many kids, do as many tournaments, and make that place as busy as humanly possible. But what we're looking at here from my point of view as a city councilor is how do we make sure that this facility is paid for and maintained and have long-range planning in place with the involvement, deep involvement, of the baseball organizations that are using it. But at the end of the day, what I'm going to think about here is less about program. I appreciate, this is what's going to bring a lot more energy to moving and the park and so forth. It's mutually beneficial. But the structure we're putting in place here, in my brain, is about the park. How do we keep this park going? And that's where this new governance structure, this group is going to be responsible for that, work with every organization that is using it, both for short-term you know, day, game day, short-term, long-term maintenance of that facility, so it will not last us without heating us up into a little hole trying to maintain it. So that's my thinking. I'll go to you, and then Clint, no, okay, and then Shane?
Your rank as an individual organization, it would be very challenging to keep up. The expectation was set, as I recall, during the joint meeting, was to find somebody, a person, an entity, whatever, that was solely dedicated to doing the concessions and managing the concessions. That's why it's a very key individual role of this new organization. And again, whether that's sent out as a request to have somebody come on and do that, I personally don't care. You know, the goal is to get that $35,000, and anything beyond that, we can go to the individual needs. The maintenance is the key piece, right? But the maintenance doesn't happen without the concessions, because the concessions are going to be running at their ability and size. Is there any question on that?
So the operation, I just want to be clear, so the operation would be about the concession stands. Let's just say Clint comes in and he runs the concession stand on a volunteer basis.
Or however, you want to even talk about having a new pay, which doesn't matter. If the net revenue at the end of the year is $35,000, you pay Clint or you know, Carlos or whoever $6,000 or whatever, I don't know, that's all business.
Okay, that's fine. But the actual operation, so Clint, if he's running the stand, is going to rely on NYB and the league to staff it?
If that's that equity piece that we talked about, right? So because there's not going to be Clint or who, I mean, Clint may have a couple dedicated people that he brings along with him all the time, consistency sake. But in additional volunteers maybe help run hot dogs or clean up or do things like that. It would make sense to have a joint equity of that.
Right.
In order to
that's what I thought. For. I just kind of felt like the conversation was going in a different direction. It didn't, you know, I wanted to make sure it was clear that
both leagues would be
bringing in people to work in the concession stand with whoever is running it, and the leagues are also going to be doing the maintenance part, right?
But they
the biggest emphasis is going to be maintenance.
Right.
So I think that's where maybe I haven't understood that aspect of it. And didn't realize that this third party entity was all going to be responsible for maintenance. I mean, maybe that was an assumption on my part that whoever had the contract.
The contract is dead. Conceptually, the contract is dead. Third party organization is the park. Because the contract exists but the park, right? Because Kaiserlily could exist on their own, completely separate from the city of Kaiser, and then just rent the space for the park. I mean, it's totally plausible, right? It's a fit.
Well, someone to see our city manager have a hard time. But by and large, what has happened is a sustained, dedicated organization that is about the park, for the park, that all of the organizations that participate, and we are giving preference to the two that operate here in Kaiser, and we talked about a third one, that also operates here in Kaiser as being the core for this this governing body over the Kaiser or the baseball park complex organization, and then signatory to that little league, the Minority Baseball, maybe another group, would be the ones that are going to help provide those people with a clear expectation of what that looks like. The level of volunteerism we need from both within any participating organization, what level of what hours would be expected, and so forth. And that would be the governing body would set the expectation each year to ensure that it is carried out. Clint, thank you for your patience.
You guys keep talking about the park and the maintenance of the park. If the city was to operate that park and take care of the maintenance, could not even come close to what they do there. Carl Onsmeyer is awesome down there. Mm-hmm. He takes care of everything. It's massive. I mean, he's there every day. His wife's there every day working. And you guys keep talking about the maintenance and like it's never taken care of. You would not even do a better job with the city.
No,
let me tell you, they do a fabulous job, And if you change that stuff, what they're doing is going to be a nightmare.
We're trying to not change that. We're trying to set up something that will go past their lifetimes. Because at the end of the day, we've got to set up something that will go past who we are today. Unless we can find a way to clone the Art Myers.
How very great.
So they can continue. But who are going to be the next Art Myers? Who are going to be the next Clint Collins? We've got to put something in place that will sustain and not rely on one person.
Yes, Ms. Hammond, that's very
good. This has never been about. The very first meeting was trying to honor and take into consideration everything that's happened up to now. Unfortunately, and Clint, you know I respect you.
To the only degree.
And no, what I don't agree with is when you said the other organization.
The other organization.
When you started the conversation talking about tournaments, you said KOL and then the other organization. We'll be honest. Okay? That frustrated me a little bit because it's not NYU versus KOL. This is a collaborative effort. We're trying to come together with a long-term sustainability. It's all about it's sustainability. It's about the kids. It's about the kids. It's honoring the decades of work that you did. It's honoring the decades of work that Roland has done, all these other volunteers, but putting it into a functionality where ultimately build and maintain at a basic, sustainable, long-term, safe status for the children. The concession stand, ultimately, because we're limiting slot fees, will pay for that. I don't care. You get the contract for concession, I don't care. Shane is going to sell, you know, the best hot dogs ever invented and gets the contract. I don't care. That's a function of the ONM, and the ONM have to go out and get that person to come into it. But that's their business. That's Brad. Well, I mean, Brad, he's quit on us. But that's Shane, and I kind of love you. So, but that's Shane and Bo sitting down and figuring out as a group. And the city being a partner as the owner of it, but the city will not, I don't think, and should not, in my opinion, dictate how that is going to be done. That's going to be these guys sitting at the table, taking their collective knowledge with you at the table, and saying, this is what's worked for the last 30 plus years. Let's make it happen moving forward so we have a plan. So that somebody can walk in and knows nothing about baseball, I can hand this over to Kathy Clark and say, run this and shoot you.
On top of that, this will be sustainable, and the city will be an active partner, you know, because we own the space. We have a responsibility to make sure that this is sustained long-term in a way that is safe, is equitable, and is just doable. You know, we've got to make sure that this can outlast us.
Nobody does concessions better than you.
What?
Nobody does concessions better. We've seen it this year, Brad, being said, they're struggling with the concessions.
So we need to bring, we
need that knowledge. You're the right, even if you don't necessarily run concessions, make sure that you're the right person to bring into that conversation and say, start to finish, this is how it's going to happen. But you're not going to have that unless NYD's there practicing and playing their games instead of clearly like everywhere else. You're not going to have that unless Brad has all his terms up or ashamed this way. Brad,
We love Brad.
But see, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen unless everybody's participating. I think that's the whole goal, is to get everybody participating as part of it. The maintenance is important, but the concessions is equally, if not more important, because there's no fundraising about
it. You just said it. Thank you. You got there, Matt. The concessions is the most important piece of this whole thing. Because without concessions being successful, the maintenance of the park is going to struggle because you're not going to have the money to do it. So,
unless you bring in outside revenue from other teams, then that's completely separate from the opposite.
Right. Because right now, the maintenance actually is not bad.
No, the maintenance is great.
It's in a good place. But I want to kind of feel like right now is that we're kind of talking in circles now. I think we all agree on the basic principle. I feel like we've rehashed a ton of old stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've moved a whole lot forward. Other than maybe expressing some meanings and getting maybe a little better solution there. But what I would really like to see happen at this point is I'd like to see a work party with probably pizza and maybe some drinks and beer if it's allowed. But to just in a small group to sit down and just start in a much less formal setting than what this is, and just to start to throw ideas out into the void and see what comes back at us. So,
thank you.
I have written down. the steps to move forward are the schedule figured out. You guys talk about how that schedule is just thoughts. Talk about your tournaments, figure out what your tournaments are going to look like, and then you look at the projections and train on setting up what the individual league needs are going to look like, right? But it sounds to me like the tournaments need to probably be fleshed out in the next couple months. Pretty easily, right? You guys know what the tournaments are going to look like for the year, basically.
Yeah, we have our big idea of how we would like to do certain tournaments.
The league uses comes after that, and then you can project out anything beyond that, probably sometime starting in the early part of the summer. The next big issue is maintenance. Setting before and after use expectations agreed upon by both organizations. The field has been maintained very well. It looks great now. It looks 1,000% better than it did 5 years ago. And that's in large part due to the work that guys will be put in. And your dad, and Tony, and Clint, and we know that they're not agreeing about Clint, you know, right? But setting the before and after use expectations, having a conversation about that sort of on premises agreement with, like, to look at the field before and after and make sure they're at least to a sustainable use. And then maybe adding a penalty. If you, you know, strike one, you're bad, we didn't check it, strike two, you're out. Right? We're playing ASA rules on you start with one strike.
And we add on to that, this would all be the level at which the short-term CIP, what are you going to be doing, what projects are you doing, that's
but I think even more important is to get kind of involved now in starting to work out that concessions piece and figure out, you know, get with Clint, get with Shane, get with Bo, and figure out what that's going to look like. If it's Clint doing concessions, make sure, great, go, I don't care, that's what you
want
to do.
But we want to make sure that people are trained so that he has the information on. Can I have them on the agenda here real quick?
Okay, so two things. One, you talk about getting the tournament set up. Now, does this tournament also include these guys?
If they want to sign up,
it's only there, right? It's only right. Yeah, that was my bet. Thank you for very much.
I'm just with these guys.
The Marion baseball.
Wait a minute.
It's everybody.
They're just pointing.
They do their own tournaments.
Well, what I know, what I meant is that when you say get it on the schedule, you're talking about
every
month.
Yes. Okay, thank you. This is the collaborative.
Wasn't the next step in this process, if we agreed to join board, was getting it together, right? Or what are we
doing? Conceptually, I'm about 60% through the bylaws. The problem is, a lot of this is I was trying to flesh out that I didn't really, you know, because I was hearing some claim that, you know, concessions really need to be this way, and I agree with him, because you need to kind of have an outside entity. These guys have said, if we're doing maintenance, we may not be able to handle concessions as well. So I think conceptually, we need to kind of take a step back and look at that a little bit. But I think getting these things in order within the next probably month is going to be a really good stepping off point to be able to be ready to go to the city the first part of the next year and say, look, here's our plan, here's our schedule for all these tournaments. Conceptually, we're going to be ready to move forward with the individual needs we need for our non-tournament needs, probably early spring. We're asking, here's our maintenance plan, this is how we're going to set the expectation for, you know, Dragon Field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe the 501 season doesn't necessarily happen this year. Maybe this is the first year of the beta test. I don't know, to see how it works out. Right? And then here's the need for the concessions. And, oh, by the way, we contacted so-and-so, and here's our plan for the concessions, and this is my intended outcome of the concessions. Can we amend the contract? At that point, I think the answer would probably be yes. Am I off?
So 100%, the slot fees are gone.
I think that's the goal.
Yeah. But, I mean, these guys are registering in 3 months, again, for the next season, right, December.
Well, then we've got to be ready in 2 months to go to the council.
Pardon?
January, February, yeah.
Oh, that's the January, February?
Yeah, I think it's
We set the fees in November. So okay. That's what I'm saying is we have to have that be clear to these guys that there are no slot fees. So when they set their fees, right, it's not going to be based on that anymore. Well, we both said that that's what you guys do. You think about that when you set the price.
I would caution against taking slot fees away at this point, because if it doesn't happen, if for whatever reason this whole thing just imploded and didn't happen, you're setting the league up, you're setting the park up for hardship for at least a year until next year resides.
The other thing about the fees is fair. It's fair. It's whoever uses it has to pay that fee.
But it was created specifically when the two organizations formed. Prior to that, there were no such thing as slot fees. It division exist?
There's not a field around, like, you know, Parrish, you pay a slot fee. You know, if you want to play at, you know, West Salem, you play a slot fee. There is
outside,
really
outside users.
Outside.
Yes, but that's
and the outside users will continue. Yeah. These you guys are no longer outside users. NYB's not. These guys aren't. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I brought this whole discussion because we had talked about that. If we get away with the slot fees, you know what you're doing with the concessions. You know what you're doing with the maintenance. If you come to city council, we got a plan.
Yeah. My question about, I'm sorry.
Okay. I kind of agree with Greg. You can't take those slot fees away because if something doesn't go right, you're really going to have a disaster on your hands. Okay?
Well,
that generates so much income for the complex.
My feeling on it as a non-council member, if you don't do that, then these individuals from NYB have zero incentive to move forward with this plan.
Okay?
Well, my point is that they both just got the same and do all their stuff out of it.
Where do we make that revenue up at?
Yeah, where do you make it?
In concessions, that's the whole point.
But you can't guarantee the amount of sales that's going to happen out of that. I mean, that's one of my questions.
Wait a minute. You have to. The concessions is not going to pay for half of the complex.
That's what I was trying to ask.
So
if we send this complex,
here,
it isn't 30,000.
You've got a disaster on your hands.
It was discussed at $35,000 a year with the NCA.
So my point would be, yes, I do want to see the swap be go away at some point. But until we have a solid agreement in place,
it's going to take a year, Brian.
Okay, show comparison for 1 year. You continue the swap fees, then show exactly what would happen if you did it the other way.
That's what this beta test was about this summer, was to start looking at that model.
A true beta test would have to be an implementation of this whole philosophy, elimination of slot fees, NYB's full participation, KRO's full participation, and then a commitment from the city. You need to say something at the end of it, that there's, you know, if they miss a gap in the revenue, as they're testing this out, then the city will step in and help out.
They don't know.
They don't have the acres like we make a few different steps.
But
I have a question about the 30,000. So you guys talk about maintaining the field. Where is the money supposed to come to improve the field? You're going for a grant, right? At that point?
That's completely separate. So when we talk about long term capital improvements, that's when we start to talk about partnerships with grants and our assistant development charges and things like that. What we're going to do is the maintenance, the ongoing sustainability of the field. Then we want to do things like parking lots and things like that.
I'm not even talking about parking lots. I'm talking about plates. I'm talking about, you know, guards around the fences. I'm talking about, you know, our dugouts need to be done. You know what I mean? So I'm not talking about like that kind of stuff. I'm talking about everyday maintenance that we consider everyday maintenance, and you guys are talking about dragging the field and stuff.
Plates would be considered everyday maintenance.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's a ton of things I don't think that we're considering when we're talking about daily maintenance that go into it. It's not just dragging the field. We have to pay for the water. We have to pay for the electricity.
The slot fees generated about, $20,000? And then the concession stand was like, when you got half, we got half, $15,000. That's $35,000.
The slot fees will generate about $25,000.
Yeah,
thereabouts. The operation, basic operation of the park, should be able to be covered if the concession stand hits a net profit of $30,000. But that's the basic operations.
Which is why I was at 35, because that brings the markup just a little bit.
Now, anything that needs to be improved, you got to raise money, just like always happened.
One of the conversations was using those gap times in July, I guess, for other areas where you can bring in outside entities to utilize the field. So NAPA, whatever.
Yes.
They're paying slot fees, they're paying concessions, they're paying. So that's additional revenue outside of what we're talking about now.
That's included in the revenue. That's included in slot fees. NAPA fees, okay. Fees, all that.
So maybe take 5%, whatever. You know, the $2,500 a year you get from slot fees from all. That's still an additional revenue for the field.
problem with eliminating the soft fees at some point, but I just want to make sure that we don't get rid of them too soon until this thing is in place and operating.
But or if there is a minimum, you know, because when we're looking at $40,000 to operate the field, there might be a way for a budgeting process for the upcoming fiscal year 20 to have that conversation. But the city manager is very, very clear. Fully taking over the operation of that field is not something we can do for $40,000. We can't even touch it. So it's way more way above that.
So where does the term of the piece go? Sorry, where does the term of the piece go?
Whatever organization is putting on the tournament. They just book the fees, those slot fees, just like any other organization, and then they put the tournaments on. The benefit comes to the park for the
tournaments. What does slot fees be? $40 a slot game?
Yeah.
$40 a game? What's the cost to do that over at West Center? I've never done that. I've never done that.
What do they charge for a bid? $60-some plus the city pays for a lot of stuff.
And it's $75 a parish.
Our slot,
we're
back of what it is compared to other organizations.
Yeah, my mentally chooses to go to these guys because they're the Kaiser Little League organization of that park because it is the cheapest.
So do we need to look at modifying the fees?
I mean,
we're not for our outside fees or for our leagues. Do we look at modifying the outside slot fees?
I mean, that's something we can do, but
I don't know how much impact of that. Most outside of these are the McNary and Kaiser Little League. We're talking about the outside groups.
So if I'm charging somebody now, did you say $40?
Mm-hmm. Well, $40 for a normal, like, 12U field, so like our 67 foot base fields. If you're playing down on the large field, it's $50 for the field sign on field 6. That's a big one.
Unless you're
using lights, then it's $135.
How much are you charging KYB for a slot fee?
Same thing. When they're by case.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Little League pays the same thing, outside the state, same thing.
Yeah, we need to. And that's something I think that we need to look at when we're looking at, you know, because slot fees will not go away for tournaments and outside users. You know, we are the inside users. We sit around this table right now. We're the inside in this time going forward. So I'm going to reel it back a little bit. I think we've got some good starting points for the next conversation that we'll get to at the time. I think it's been very helpful to hear how the summer went. I think it's been very helpful to make sure that the new members are up to speed where we talked before. I think it's helpful to put together what our plan is for the next steps. I would agree with Matt that our next steps are about looking at what the governance is going to look like for scheduling, for the logistics, for maintenance, and for how we're going to do concessions and other. I want to open up a little bit. Concessions specifically, but other appropriate revenue generation that will go to the field, again, for this maintenance target. I don't know what that might look like. I know concessions is a big thing, but there's other opportunities. Please bring them. Bring them to the table. Again, the idea is to achieve a certain level of revenue coming in between $35,000 and $40,000 that would maintain the field, take care of all of the expenses that have been identified for maintaining the field, including the short term, the stuff for that season. But this is not just, you know, mowing electricity. This is also all the things that you invest in during a season of the short-term stuff. Long-term, that's a good point, and that's going to be part of the master plan that we're going to be doing for the field. Our first master plan is going to get underway, and the taxability part is included. If I remember, it is not included. Well, we might want to include it in there because it makes us eligible to apply for grants. If it's not in the master plan, can we apply for grants as the owner of that park? So that's the conversation.
We need to have the conversation with the 7 master plans and we'll have the Kaiser Rapids maybe folded into the overall.
Kaiser Rapids will be folded into it.
It's not 7 master
plans. Now it is, but it's going to be folded.
It'll be folded into Little League. Is that part of the project of the master plan?
Yes.
Little League has your own field system part of it.
It's basically put up. There's not a lot of information there.
So let's talk about what we can do for the long term. We're going to season, what's it going to cost, how are we going to raise revenues, how are we going to make sure the work gets done, and not beat the snot out of a small pool of volunteers. Make it sustainable. I don't know. I'll get my magic wand out of here. Do we have enough to go for our next time? And you want is, do you want to sit down and go over?
I agree to sort of agree with Brad and Bo. I think there's going to be a separate discussion and probably include that. I really think Clint needs to be in that discussion specifically from the concessions perspective. And kind of try to flesh a little bit of stuff out. But I think if you don't, I think, have a solid footing, we're going to continue probably chasing them until this.
Okay. And that's 1, 2, 3, because he's an expert, so we don't have a forum issue. So are you four willing to be to kind of hammer out some options to bring back on the concessions? All right.
So, Brad, are you officially out now?
No, not yet.
I'm
initially going to be out.
It's not a change can come.
Five for a quorum, and Clint is not officially on this committee, so he would just be an interested citizen. So you could still have four members of the committee and still be okay.
Yeah, I would love to come, but Brian's going to be the
Ryan would like to be going, assuming that the vote goes like I think.
But you guys aren't
officially
on
this committee.
So we don't have to worry about that. Yeah, they can come. They're citizens, yeah. So you three are official task force members. And if you need a couple other people, that's officio, go ahead. That would be great.
So I will amend my original. There is some suggestion about Kaiser Lily in the master plan. It doesn't go into a lot of detail as far as park development. I don't think that I've seen so far. But it's definitely talked about. I'm looking to see if it talks about the needs and the overall structure like it. But it is mentioned in the master plan. To a degree that we're thinking about, so I apologize for that.
Okay, so
what did you say on the original
page? Yeah, it's really vague though. I mean, it has plan recommendations and small opportunities, but it's not necessarily fleshed out.
That's right.
Yeah.
So let's help you.
There's anything that can be, I can work on the master plan that we need to do that.
Yeah. Right, so during the master plan process, once we've gotten through this process, we'll be looking to, again, all the organizations to help us with the long term schedule.
In terms of what you're thinking long term, right now the plan recommendations are field drainage, which is
number one.
For pathways, lighting, and then
parking.
Promote wider public use of the park by groups unaffiliated with Kaiser Lily, and then that's insufficient parking is only a major and inefficient inadequate field drainage is a major two deficiencies. So especially as it moves into the master plan discussion, you're going to want to really have that sort of much larger picture, especially as Kathy mentioned for the capital improvement stuff. So I just have another thing to say, so I apologize for missing.
No worries. Okay, so
why not a concussion?
Okay, are we clear? So that the next step in the interim, you guys will work on fleshing out details, what concessions, what does it generate, how is that going to look like. Do we need somebody else working on the oversight of the maintenance to bring back that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be largely what we're going to talk about.
Well, you're talking about generating money.
Well, we're going to talk about the maintenance piece too, the scheduling and maintenance sitting here.
Because the maintenance, having the accountability with the expectations, the needs, this is a separate thing. I mean, you have the money to execute, but what are you executing?
I think we get
function.
All right. Because I know when Brad Washington met, we went into a lot of that discussion generally anyways, but I think that's a byproduct of the overall discussion. And I think having Clint there from the concession perspective plus that one thing means to be
supported. All right. And then you'll be between now and our next meeting. And are we scheduled yet, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's a reasonable time period for you to get you guys work done and then get the group back together with the beginning of September? I would like to at least get the group back together sometime in October. So we don't lose people. So,
well, why don't I find out when we have rooms?
That's a good idea, all days. All right. So, we're talking on
the
room.
We can have
beer here. What? Yeah, that's yourself. Well, bring your water bottle. Oh, I'm going to So what weeks do you want me to look? Like the last 2 weeks of October? Does that give you enough time?
It's too late. I think this, especially if we're having a plan going to council by December.
So you want it before then?
I think so. First week of October.
We got to have a plan.
That's a month.
It's over.
Yes. It has to come to city council in November.
Yeah.
Second
week of October is just the only one going that I have open.
No, I don't have any objects. So, yeah, it'd have to be either the first week of October or the third week of October. The second week of October is parks, planning, and traffic safety.
So we'll look at the third week of October then, for getting this group back together.
Or do you want the first week? That's too soon?
I think so. Because we've got to need more time. Would you be ready by the first week of October?
Sometimes it puts a fire under you.
What do you think?
It's all watching.
Okay, so I will check the first week in October.
Yeah.
And tell you what rooms what we have available. Okay.
Okay. And that's good. No, we don't have a question. Okay. I think we have a plan. Closing thoughts.
Okay. I'm going to just kind of officially say, as I transitioned out for a long time, those two guys are likely to be the ones most involved in this process. But also understand that I'm around, and I would like to still be a concerned citizen moving forward to continue to be a process. But I want to see us be as successful with both of these groups as possible today. All the service to benefit the kids and guys yourself. It's been a privilege to be a part of this, to be involved like this. So moving forward, I'll be around, but it's going to be those guys that are going to be the ones that are going to be calling for votes at board meetings and really run the show. So.
Well, thank you, and I want to really call out you guys and all you guys who are involved with baseball. Because you have made a huge stride forward to bringing not only great ideas, but a great direction for us, and just a willingness to work together. And that's the kind of way. I really appreciate you very, very much. So I'm looking forward to what you guys bring to our next meeting in early October. Down to the metal, and go ball games.
There you go.
Playoffs. Tonight, the game's underway.
0-0. 15 0. So, haven't they had one
game already? No.
Tonight, the first game.
The best two can be tonight against Slowboro. And if we win, we play the best 3-5 against the winner of the Tri Cities and Spokane, which the Tri Cities is up 3-0.
What?
Yes. I know! I'm just telling you what it says right here.
Don't
tell me
more, but
I think we are adjourned. Wow, we got it.